A year in review, activism, solidarity, and navigating oppressions. It's Sunday, April 30th, and will include panel discussions from students and keynote speakers, workshops, networking and community building opportunities, and a free meal and snacks throughout the day. Join us for a meaningful and thought-provoking day of feminism and social justice advocacy. You can get updates by following the F Word Conference on Facebook and Twitter at GRSJ Undergrads.
It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10, and they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis, make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR's student executive and fashion expert, Jonathan Q, what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. It's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys,
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
There's a lot of talk about expectations in the April issue of Discorder. The expectations that we set for ourselves and others, and how we act when those expectations are not met. Experimental sound artist Ian William Craig discusses the nature of success. Bridget Gallagher makes us think about moshing in a new light. Una Craig dissects gentricide in the downtown East Side. And April cover artist Janine Frey and Jute Lee advocates for the protection of caribou, amongst other things. Thanks to this month's advertisers, CITR 101.9 FM, the Rickshaw Theater, Timber Concerts, the Rio Theater, the Wise Hall, Live Van, Alex Cuba, the UBC AMS, Red Cat Records, High Life Records, Audio Pile Records, Neptune Records, Jazz Records, Mint Records, the Rickshaw, RSD, and Doxa. Welcome to a new season.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, a mixture of music and debate. So stay tuned for all of this. And in the studio with me tonight, as always, is Conan Eckleput. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, but as always, you weren't here last week. Had a bit of a role reversal, except you weren't here.
Yeah, more like I rolled off and you rolled on. But yeah, so how was it? Did you manage all right?
Yeah, it was good fun. Yeah, I mean, like, it's a bit tricky to navigate the soundboards, but it's cool to be in the driving seat, the dictator's chair.
Well, don't get used to it.
No, I haven't. I've already savored it. I'm already sort of nostalgic for it. But don't worry. I'm not going to backstab you this time.
All right. Well, you get used to that chair you're sitting in, and I think it's time for some white noise.
Warning: the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Peter's Pet Crematorium. For cash, we'll turn them into ash. First up tonight, a couple's arguing.
Can we please swap it up?
No, I'm the pitcher. You're the receiver.
But I'm just so sore.
Well, take a break. Let your brother have a go.
He's not interested.
That's not what he told me last night. Apparently he's been looking for an opportunity for a while.
Leave my brother out of this.
Why? He's super fit. Didn't he used to do it professionally?
Yeah, when he was a bit younger, but he's not up for the damage you can cause anymore.
Oh, please. It would mean the world to me.
Oh, fine. Whatever. It's only fucking softball anyway.
I never played softball because in England we have sports that aren't shit. Actually, that's not true. We have cricket. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
I can't believe you're doing it again.
What?
Shagging my mum!
What do you expect? She does have a vagina.
I know. I came out of it.
Just start appreciating it.
I'd rather not. Can we talk about anything else?
Fine. Your sister still looks pretty shaggable.
Oh, I remember when you used to say those things about me.
Yeah, but I gave up drinking, so not gonna happen. Now quit crying. I've got a plan.
Well, better be quick. I'm stripping at 4 o'clock over at Larry's Love Lengths.
I thought it was Charlie's Chubbers today.
Nah, I got banned from there for drinking in the bathroom.
Why do they care if you do that?
Well, it was out of the urinal. What are we doing at a mall?
You'll see.
You're not going to try and nick a kid from the crush again. You know you can't lift them. Kids are too fat these days.
No way. Nearly slipped a disc last time. I want to get a ring.
Onion or cock?
No, a proper one. I'm going to make an honest woman of your mum.
Good, because she's a lying bitch. Wait, you mean you're going to marry her?
Exactly.
Why?
Sick of living in a dumpster.
Can I have the dumpster?
No, I'm renting it to Mike.
The method?
Yeah, he's only left a deposit.
Money?
No, a turd.
Oh.
Of course it was money, you berk.
Can I move into Mum's house with you?
Maybe. I still need a pillow.
Yes.
Right, this is the shop. You got the pepper spray?
Yeah. So, which ring are you going to get?
Whichever one I can steal.
Ooh, that one looks nice.
Nah, it's too nice. I don't want him thinking I like her that much. Just put on the mask and spray him when I tell you to.
Where did you get a Donald Trump mask?
That's a Porky Pig, you twat. Right, here we go. Act casual.
Excuse me, can you please remove your mask?
No, mate, it's a medical thing.
And you can't bring pepper spray in here.
It's deodorant. Look, see. It burns!
Spray her, Carl.
My tits are on fire!
Shit, fuck.
What did you do that for? Oh, you're stealing. I'm calling security.
Already here. Put down the jewels, Donald Duck.
Piss off. What's a bird gonna do?
Wanna taste my nightstick?
Shit, that's not fair. Ow! Ow! Run, Carl!
Where? I can't see shit!
Fuck. All right, I'll carry you. Oh, God, you weigh more than them crash kids. You owe me all your tips from stripping this week.
Oh, well, at least you got Mum something nice.
Yeah, all that stuff is well fancy at Claire's Accessories. I'd never ask my true love to marry me, as I'm not allowed within 50 feet of her. Next up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you Pizza Gut, KFC, and Taco Toilet Time comes our latest venture, the world's first fast food / microbrew pub, Bladdered King. Enjoy the artisanal beer you love with a side of the world's most questionable food. We have all your favorite brew, including lager and some other stuff. If you love hoppy beers, try somewhere else. Our beer is sourced from the world's finest brewmasters who will work for less than $3 an hour. If quality is what you seek, keep looking. Bladdered King. Have it your way. As long as your way is terrible.
I don't drink beer. It makes me act like a dick. And I definitely don't need any help with that. Next up tonight, someone's in trouble.
So, Will, how do you think your first 3 months here at youporn.com have gone?
Pretty good, I think. Certainly beats working at the recycling depot, though both places have a bit of an odd smell.
You'll get used to the smell of cum.
Well, I've learned to breathe through my mouth.
There is one thing I'd like to bring to your attention. apparently, according to your desk mates, you've been slacking a bit in one area.
Hmm? Oh, really?
Yes, according to Jim, you haven't been keeping up with your masturbating.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. The first month I was on top of it, but I've been a bit lazy lately.
Yes, you are woefully below your quota.
Well, it does start to chafe after a while.
Hence the bottles of complimentary hand lotion we hand out.
Well, after a while it gets a little depressing.
Our whole industry is depressing.
Totally. But I just thought it was something I wouldn't be required to do at work.
But you're a product tester. How else are you going to test the product?
By watching it, duh.
That's like testing chocolate only by smelling it.
But even chocolate tasters get to spit it out.
No one is asking you to swallow.
Oh, thank God.
But you must reach climax, as that is the benchmark we're looking for.
But I've become rather numb to it. I mean, I'm having to watch some really weird shit to get off.
We don't advocate scat porn, you know that.
Oh, that's not what I meant. I only occasionally enjoy the fart porn.
Then what can I do, as your supervisor, to ease the process?
Well, maybe a cubicle where my coworkers can't watch me work?
Open plan offices are the future, Will.
Then maybe not a window seat.
Look, we've all sat in the window seat. Yes, it's a little uncomfortable when the elementary school gets out at 3, but just take a late lunch.
Oh, maybe this isn't the job for me.
Oh, come on. Where else would they let you masturbate for minimum wage?
Could I at least get some curtains or some blinds?
Fine, whatever. Get back to work.
Yes, boss.
Friggin' wanker.
People probably think it's hard to work with an erection every day, but I do it just fine. Next up tonight is a court case.
Welcome back to this monumental case to determine who is worse.
Mr. Stalin, please let the jury know your crimes.
I terrorized and impoverished my people, ruled as a dictator, and killed 20 million peasants, and I bitch-slapped quite a few donkeys.
Mr. Hitler, please tell the jury of your atrocities.
I committed a genocide, started the Second World War, and encouraged eugenics, and the forming of One Direction.
Ms. Ashworth, please inform the jury of your convictions.
I said I was going to a friend's party on Facebook, and then I didn't go!
Mr. Stalin, proceed again.
I backstabbed my closest backers. I forced serfs into my army, and I deported millions from their homes, and I never replaced empty toilet paper roll.
Mr. Hitler?
I forced my soldiers onto methamphetamines, tried to establish a super race, forced ordinary Germans to commit awful crimes in my name, and I made grown men wear shorts.
Ms. Ashworth?
I forgot to tip the barista at the indie coffee shop.
Mr. Stalin, this is your last opportunity to confess your most heinous crimes.
I rewrote Russian history in my narrative, forced ethnic conflicts that persist to this day, and wore seriously questionable facial hair.
Mr. Hitler?
I left a generation of Europeans dead. I inspired modern-day racists and xenophobes. And I slept with the babysitter.
Ms. Ashworth?
I took an indulgent 35-minute shower on Earth Day. I'm the worst.
We, the jury, find Miss Ashworth guilty of being the absolute worst. Sentenced to shame and a 10-day suspension of her Instagram account.
If Hitler was alive today, he would be a Republican. Or maybe a Democrat. Like many Americans, I can't tell the difference anymore. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore. Bulls, bills, and bail money.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Blackmore and Richard.
Hiya, doctor.
Right.
Are you here for your refill and your prescription?
Nah, I got plenty of herpes cream. It's about Richard.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I'm a little concerned about the fact that he's now 12 and he already has a full beard.
I see. Yes, it is quite thick.
Whatever.
Is that normal?
Is anything about Richard normal?
Hey!
Well, no. But his dad can't even grow one like that at 40.
Then he must get it from your side of the family.
My dad's got two chest hairs and the pubes to match.
Not going to ask how you know that, but I can assure you having a beard early just means he's going through puberty sooner than most. Perhaps it's a dietary issue?
No, he gets all his greens. Green M&Ms, green apple gum, green jelly beans.
Any actual vegetables?
What's a vegetable?
Those things you walk by in the supermarket on the way to the wine fridge.
Oh, I thought they were just for show.
I thought as much. Anyway, he's probably fine. Just avoid cheap meat and dairy that has too many hormones in it.
Oh, yeah, we don't need any more horny moans. He's bad enough as it is.
Oi, don't I get a say in this?
What would you like to say, Richard?
Those glasses make you look like a twat. I didn't enjoy puberty. Though having said that, I haven't really enjoyed the rest of my life either. Next up tonight, someone shopping.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Build a Bride. How may I help you?
Hi there. I'm looking to purchase a new wife. The old one's out of warranty.
No problem. Let me take a look at what we have in stock. I've got a few new models.
Models.
Oh, not that kind, sorry.
Oh.
Says here we have a few imports coming. Would you be interested in something Korean?
And what are they like?
Lots of add-ons come standard. Cooking, cleaning, Bluetooth, and they stay looking great till about 50. Then they tend to fall apart pretty quickly.
Maybe not. I've been hearing a lot about these new South American models.
Yes. Lots of space in the trunk. Very sporty and meticulously well-groomed.
Any drawbacks?
Can be a bit unpredictable.
Maybe something domestic instead?
Okay, well, they do tend to be a bit cheaper, but really bad mileage, and they do tend to have quite a lot of little problems. Faulty buttons, that sort of thing.
Any good European models?
Oh, I do have one that just came in. Swedish. So very stable, reliable, but a bit boring.
Yes, I see, yes. Sounds a lot like my last one. Any others?
How about this? I have a nearly new India model. Low emissions, low maintenance, and a low sense of self-worth.
Well then, can I take her for a test drive?
No! What kind of wife-buying shop do you think this is?
If you're offended by the past sketch, it's okay. So was I. Next up tonight, we return to the adventures of Dick Whiteless.
I wonder if Mum's replied to my text. Oh, she has. Dear Dick, fuck off. Oh, well, that's nicer than her last text. Come in.
Mr. Whiteless?
Yes, and you are?
Lady Starfisher, how do you do?
Oh, thank you. I do well. How can I help you?
I have recently been proposed to by Lord Cumsquick, and I was hoping you could check him out for me. See what skeletons lie in his closet, or if he's in the closet for that matter.
I see. Yes, no problem. Any particular concerns?
No, just make sure he's not a twat.
Ah, there he is. Oh, I'll just hide in here. Oh, oh, oh dear. Jesus Christ. What is he? Dear God, the humanity. Thanks for coming back in, Lady Starfisher.
No problem. Well?
Yes, I did find a couple of things that might be a bit of a concern.
Well, spit it out. Not your gum, imbecile.
He's in fact a bit of a drug dealer.
Oh.
And a human trafficker.
Ah.
And he's definitely what colloquially they call a pimp.
I see. Well, you don't get to call yourself a lord without slapping a few hoes.
Right.
Anything else?
You need more. He's a smoker.
Why didn't you lead with that? Oh, disgusting behaviour. I shall marry no such beast.
I've never dated a smoker. I smoke enough for the pair of us. Next up tonight, someone's been born.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
And such a beautiful choice of name.
Excuse me, can I just get down the official name for the birth certificate?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've decided to call him Gondorito Blackman.
Yes, hilarious. Now, seriously, I need to get home.
We are serious.
You're seriously calling your son Gondorito Blackman?
Yes. Doesn't it suit him?
Well, it is my duty to advise you that legally you can't do that.
Why not?
I knew this would happen. I told you they would try to take away another of my children right after they're born.
I assure you I'm not about to take away your child. He's hideous. Now, can we please just give him a different name? At least for now? You can change it a few years down the line to whatever god-awful thing you desire.
His name is gonna be Gondorito. We're not gonna change it.
Sure, go for it. I don't care about his first name.
What?
Oh, for God's sake. You're going to need to change the last name.
What's wrong with Blackman?
Look at him. Is he black?
No.
Are either of you black?
No.
Then his name can't be Blackman. Can it? Now, typically, we look at the father's profession for surname inspiration. Do you make things, for instance, we could call him Smith?
Look, this seems a bit fascist. My name's Blackman. How did that happen, huh?
Well, the law changed recently. The people decided that it wasn't fair on the child to be permanently associated to their parents.
Well, what if we said no?
Then someone will come along shortly to take away your child.
No!
Just kidding. In situations like these, we typically take the simple bureaucratic route of just calling him surname.
Well, that's just stupid.
Yes, but so is our entire government. Now, we can resolve this simply if you just let me know what your job is.
I collect trash.
Great. Gondorito Garbage Man.
What about me? Doesn't my life get a say?
Okay, and what do you do?
I'm a lap dancer.
Brilliant. So, Gondorito Garbage Man or Gondorito Titty Teaser? Which do you like best?
Garbage
Titty
Man.
Teaser.
Well, I'll hyphenate it. Welcome to the world, Gondorito Garbage Man Titty Teaser. Don't have a shit life, son, despite your parents' best efforts.
My mom gave me a normal name, which sort of made up for the messed up childhood. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckelpin, Sierra Wiley, Kenneth Tynan, Nick Rinker, Caitlin Docking, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckelpin.
There you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that half hour of sketch comedy. We will, of course, have more for you next week. But stay tuned now for the White Noise After Show, which, as I said before, is a mixture of a bit of chit-chat, and we're going to play some wicked music. Should we get straight into the music,
sir? Play some wicked music, man.
All right. So, first up tonight, I think we're going to start with a new band we haven't played before. The band called The Chivrettes. Is that what I'm saying that right? Yeah, Chivrettes. And it's called Broken Record. Right, there we go. That was Heavy Living with Transit Hearts. Yeah, not bad. Not bad choices.
Pretty catchy two songs. A little bit punk, but yeah, got energy.
Yeah, yeah, good start. All right, so our first topic tonight is going to be related to something that was in our show today. Should there be limitations on what you can name your children? Obviously, we live in an era where Chris Martin's kid's called Apple and many other interesting names like that from different people. Do you think there should be limitations, sir?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because you think about most names these days, particularly in sort of Europe, North America, a lot of names tend to be repeated. There's a lot of Connors, for instance, is like the 58th most popular name in North America. Simon, again, a pretty common name.
Anything that's in the Bible,
yeah,
especially.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of those names kind of keep filtering through. But it does make you wonder, if you're trying to make your child unique in some way, does it serve that purpose better to give them a very original name, or does it sort of turn them into a bit of a black sheep before they even really had a chance to develop who they are?
What do you think? Because you didn't
answer. That is the interesting question. It's how much do you the liberalism versus like the you being silly and you're going to perhaps damage your child's well-being in the future. And I think there are certain names you could probably get away with that just haven't quite been sort of latched onto. But I think I think you've heard some stories of some absolutely like silly names that really make you very sorry for the child because they have to live with the name like what of something like airline pilot or some bollocks like that.
Well, that's ludicrous. That's not even a name. That's just a
noun. There's something like that. That is some celebrity child's name. That makes me angry because that child's gonna have to grow up with some really bizarre name, even if it has a great backstory. Some really bizarre name. All the other kids are gonna be like, are gonna mess around with them. And every time they go into anywhere official, like people can ask them, is that your real name? It just doesn't lend itself to success.
Right, but if you've grown up in an era where names are more diverse in a more cosmopolitan world, it becomes less surprising to hear a rather unique name. You know, when we were little, especially like being born in England, I definitely heard the same names over and over again. Yeah. So got used to a certain set of names being names I heard. So maybe if I heard one that was a bit different, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
But having lived now in a city as diverse as Vancouver, there's really no name that's shocking to me. I would just be like, okay, fair enough. That person's called Tarquin or whatever it is. It's just a name.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you own it, you can get away with it.
Listen, if you own it and you really you rock that name, then like it can kind of work because people respect you more for like who you are than like what your name is, perhaps.
Yeah.
And like, but that is like a big ask. So if you want your child to be successful, to give them a name that from the very first day people will be like, sir, am I pronouncing that right? Or like, is that legit? Would Jamie call you anything else? That breeds that sort of depreciating sort of self of value. That's a hard hurdle to overcome.
Right, but like I have friends with some sort of silly names, and at first, the first time you hear it, you go, that's funny. Like I have a friend whose first name is Holly, and her last name is Day, and her birthday is Christmas, and her name's Holiday. Which sounds funny, but I, you know, thought that was funny the first time, but I've never, we didn't bring it up ever again.
Yeah. So. Well, but I mean, I think Holly on itself, though, like, because you refer to someone by the first name, Holly is a fine name. It's not hyper common, but it's not uncommon, I think. But also the interesting thing is as well is you're absolutely right. Being in a cosmopolitan city, you get exposed to lots of names from different kind of nationalities and places around the world, and all those names you take into account, and you go, oh, that's a very interesting name. I wonder if there's a story behind that, and it could be that it's a very a religious name from a different religion or a sort of a name of some renown back home. But then, how much is it okay for people to then give their children names based on the facets of other cultures?
Well, that's fine.
Is it fine, though? Or do you think there's any kind of... is anything wrong with that?
No, I don't think there is. Because if you like a name and it suits your last name... because that's also the other thing you always have to think about is that names... you know, the first name has to kind of flow with the last name and sound good together.
More like John Johnson.
Yeah, or like... do you know that Gary Neville and Phil Neville's dad's called Neville, so his name's Neville Neville?
His name's Neville Neville.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is a good example.
I thought it was funny. But so, you know, I think that unless it's something that within
the language you speak is already established as a derogative term or something that is, you know, clearly a problem, you kind of have to just take it as that's what their person's name is, and that's great.
So if I name my child Confucius, for instance, that, like, to you, like, that's a weird decision, but, like, totally all right kind of thing?
Yeah, I would definitely think that your kid, like, is vegan and goes to a private school, but I'd make some assumptions about your child.
Yeah, he has an Etsy.
That his parents are pretentious as shit.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, that beyond that, no, that's fair enough.
I think it's hard to try and demand or expect.
And then you could
expect,
call him, like, short for short, you call him Connie.
Yeah.
That's great. That works.
Confy. But yeah, it'd be hard to demand or expect the state to take action and step in and say, this you can and this you cannot name your child, unless it is something absolutely...
Well, it's like license plates. You can't have the license plate fuck. But
yeah, exactly.
Could, so it should be the same
with
the
besides
child.
Besides that, you can kind of get away with whatever.
Don't call your child shithead. That shouldn't be allowed.
What about Ganjurito?
Yeah, if you want to call your kid Ganjurito, that's fine. I'm more concerned about whether that child has a good upbringing, and you might have started on a bad foot.
You start on the bad foot, then what can you expect?
But if you love and care for Ganjurito, like all your other children, and he, you know, he gets all the attention and the support he needs, then Ganjurito Neckleput can have a good life. And then again, just call him G or Gandalf.
Well, no, I'd call him Gandalf, not Ganjurito.
Oh, I could totally see you having a child called Gandalf. Like.
Got a grey beard. Dresses in all white.
Just keep him in, like, those, like, a christening gown just forever.
Yeah. Carries a big stick with him everywhere he goes.
All right. I think that's enough of that bollocks. Let's play another song and we'll come back with some more chit-chat. Next up is Lydia Ainsworth with The Road.
Couldn't take the long way home. Guess that I was frightened. I thought that I could face this storm. I'm only good when sun is shining. Now there's thunder and there's lightning. Should I put it down to timing? That I had to let this go. Do you regret?
go on and on and on next time. Let's go on, let's go on and on and on next time.
All right, there we go. That was JoJo Worthington with Cold War. A nice mellow track there. Quite like that.
Straight into some pop territory to begin with, and then into some nice sort of dreamscape kind of music.
And speaking of pot and mellowness, our next topic of the night is we're going to sort of dissect a little bit of the legislation that, of course, is coming into effect next year, which is the legalization of marijuana on a federal level in Canada. And so we've been having a look at it, what the rules are and regulations. So they include people will be allowed to possess up to basically an ounce in public legally, but only that much. They'll be allowed to have four plants in their house maximum without being a commercial grower. And selling to a minor will get you up to 14 years in jail. So what do you think of those rules, Connor? Do they sound to you?
I mean, as a non-smoker, legalization sounds all right. It's cool that we don't have so many people getting busted and put into jail for like small possession kind of crimes. It's cool to see the industry more regulated. These rules seem, again, like as a non-expert, they seem tentatively kind of reasonable. I don't think there's a a great deficiency in them, as far as I can see.
I would say that I find it quite odd that they put a limit on how much you can have on your possession in public as an individual, because it's not like you're only allowed to carry 2 cases of beer in public as an individual. Like, there's no limitation on how much alcohol you can walk around with.
My guess would be that they're trying to make sure you're not going... You're not secondhand selling it. You're not, like, walking around with, like, bales of it and then trying to sell it off to people at the beach or whatever.
Right. But if it's legal and around, like, I mean, you could do that with beer right now.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I mean...
And you can, again, be fined for not having a commercial license.
Yeah.
But that's a different thing to just having, possessing that amount of alcohol. It just seems like the only reason they're putting that in is because it was something that was illegal before, that there's now a limitation on it.
It's a good parallel to draw. Maybe they think because absolutely the marijuana is more potent. Like, anyone who's got, like, bales and bales of it, like, they're not using all that right now. Like, it's for themselves.
Yeah, but I could carry around enough alcohol to kill me. I couldn't,
Yeah, it's an interesting point to make, yeah.
So, to me, it seems a bit odd. The up to 14 years in jail seems a bit extreme.
Seems a bit arbitrary.
Seems very extreme in that that's like getting into territory of like max sentencing for sexual assault, and it's not far of how much you get for murder.
Yeah.
And, even if, yes, ethically selling to minors is wrong for many, many reasons, 14 years is a very high bar to set on.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it is a maximum, so presumably that wouldn't be enforced except in the most sort of stringent of cases. Yeah. But yeah,
because there's no precedent right now for that, I'd be curious to see what precedents are set at in terms of what sort of jail time people get for selling to minors.
Yeah.
I mean, the 4 plants in your house at any time, I think, is fairly reasonable, simply because having a bunch of plants in your property... could be sort of an irritant to your neighbors because the smell could be kind of distracting. But 4 plants will get a pretty high yield if they're grown outside and they're grown properly. So you could get quite a lot of weed out of that. So that to me isn't a terrible idea. I think 4 plants is fairly reasonable, but it's still a bit arbitrary. Like, if you have 6 plants, are they really going to come and bust you up?
Yeah, what if you have 4 big ones and 6 small ones? Yeah.
Yeah, or what if you're cloning? So you're, because like with not just, this is not just with marijuana plants, but with tomato plants and stuff.
On embryos.
You will clone by basically taking cuttings from it and you grow other plants off it. And so if you're doing that, can you have 4 fully grown plants and then have a bunch of seedlings? Like, is that going to be a problem?
Probably.
Because perhaps you're growing seedlings while the other ones are maturing, so that by the time the other ones are being picked, the other ones are beginning to flower. That doesn't seem like you actually have more than 4 growing plants at it. You know, it seems a little arbitrary. And
I
wonder if there will be some complications run into with that.
Perhaps, yeah. It's interesting, though. So so now that it's going to become sort of widely legalized, and in a way, it's basically kind of won a very long, decades-long battle against or for legalization, which has been a drug that many have looked down upon, have tried to censor and to prevent from becoming legal. What does that mean for marijuana consumers if it's now not this kind of symbol of the counterculture, but almost more medicinal? Like, how do you see that being a sort of like a mindset change for this and future generations?
Well, I do think that, yes, there are medicinal users, and yes, there are potentially medicinal uses of marijuana. However, I think that's a bit of a smokescreen, not just for the users to get it legalized, but also for politicians to get on board with it without seeming like hypocrites for having been against it for so long. The political parties have it's like a backdoor way of them saying, oh, we're okay with it now because suddenly we've decided it's medicinal and that's based on evidence and that's why we're allowed to change our opinion rather than just, well, we were full of shit to begin with. But
do you think, but besides just for the legalization sake, do you think, so now that it is legal, presumably the independent dispensaries and perhaps even some like growing corporations, perhaps ex-tobacco companies who now jump on board that, I presume some doctors now will be able to legally recommend if they haven't already been able to.
Well, they are legally allowed to do that,
so
right,
so they can
now
recommend it even more so because it's totally legal. Do you not think that could have a change then in the way that it's marketed as a product? Because it's not even now, a symbol of resistance or of alternative. It's like, if it's genuinely a good medicine for pain, anxiety, X, Y, and Z that it helps to treat, will that be the message that companies trying to sell marijuana will be giving out? Or will they still say, cool drug for parties and chillaxing?
Well, the thing is, I think that certain kinds of marijuana will be sold at that, which is high CBD concentration, which is good for back pains, reduces swelling, and a myriad of other things that it can apparently help. And so there will be certain products that will be aimed at that market. They'll probably be more likely to be edible or pill form, because you can already get like capsules of CBD and THC. And so I think, yes, certain versions of it will be sold like that, and other ones will be sold more as like a lifestyle or as a, you know, recreational party thing. As we see with, you know, different types of alcohol, or, you know, there are different sort of products, like, you know, even things like you look at something as simple as fruit can be sold as like a health product and health drinks and smoothies and things like that, or you can put it in a chocolate bar and you can sell it as a treat. And so, yeah, you'll just see a wide variety of different attempts to try and sell it.
Do you think it'll mimic alcohol more in the way it's sold? Alcohol doesn't really have a lot of positive connotations. It's mainly just like a depressant. But yeah, you're right. It comes in many different varieties, comes for like different interests. Or do you see it coming being sold more as perhaps tobacco is, where it's, well, I can't speak too well to it, but usually it's, you get your cigarette and that's something you like to do, but leaving aside addiction totally. Is something that might soothe you, might ease some anxiety?
I think because it really sort of bridges the recreational, obviously, and the medical side more than any of those sort of products I ever have, tobacco or alcohol especially. Like, there's years ago, tobacco was marketed in sometimes as like good for you or healthy, you know, but based on evidence, we realized that was all nonsense.
Yeah.
So this kind of is a new, it is a new thing. It's totally different. I mean, alcohol was at one point a tonic and was in, you know,
cocaine,
and opiates. I mean, most legitimate pharmaceuticals can be taken recreationally for fun as well. You know, people,
like cough syrup,
people
about,
take,
yeah.
Yeah, cough syrup, oxy, like people take a lot of those kind of drugs recreationally, benzos, all those things. But this obviously doesn't have quite the same detrimental effects that we've seen with those products. But yeah, I think it's a whole new thing. I don't think there's necessarily precedence there for it. I think it will be sold somewhat in the manner of tobacco, in that it will be restricted. It will be in like either, I don't think you'd be able to buy it. Like, the fact that you can't buy alcohol in supermarkets here tells me you wouldn't be able to either. Maybe they'll do like gas stations and things like that. But even then, you think that that's probably not a good idea to sell it where people are
driving,
drivers.
Yeah.
So it probably will be restricted to perhaps either individual shops. Like, you know, look at the sort of vape laws that have come in where you're not allowed to put advertisements in the window of the vape products. You must put them behind a screen. Mm-hmm. You have to be 19 to go in the shop where they sell those products. So I think you'll see a similar sort of thing. And there's enough money in it that it doesn't need to be sort of put in together with existing products. You can, you know, as we've seen how many dispensaries pop up in Vancouver.
So many.
And that's only one product they're selling, so clearly they don't really need to merge it with other sales. I just can't see like BCL or someone like that really merging it. I just don't even think it's necessary, and I don't think they have the expertise to really do it. I really do hope that they allow the existing companies that are doing it legitimately in Vancouver to continue, and they don't just push them out and make it all government run. Because some of them are doing a really good job, and some of them are great places to go and purchase. And, you know, they're well run. The quality of the product is good. And I think they deserve, as the pioneers in those industries, to have a chance to continue and do what they're doing. Yes, you can bring in government alternatives and allow that. But I think that private businesses should be allowed to sell it. Otherwise, it's just, you know, if they don't, that feels like a money grab rather than any ethical sort of, you know, if I feel like that's just the government kind of, yeah, you know, it goes against the free enterprise of everything else.
It's going to turn into that, well, in some ways, won't it? I mean, maybe not the government exactly.
Well, it'll be a provincially mandated thing. So it depends probably who's in charge. So like this election coming up now might decide what those laws are, in that if the NDP get in, they'll probably do a very different thing to the BC Liberals. But that's hard to say right now. And I don't think, I'm not 100% sure, but I don't believe I've heard any specifics said by the party on what they would do with it. So we'll probably have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. But either way, though, I mean, like, if it is popular and it's legal, it would be a great way to earn at least tax money, depending.
And it will, but
way,
it
yeah.
will still be taxed. It's just about whether they control the growing yeah. and the distribution, which they don't need to.
They don't need to, but yeah, I mean, it could happen.
They can because it's too expensive for them to do that. In that they can still have inspectors. They can still have, just as you have with food and all the other products that we buy, you have quality control inspectors who can go in and independently, have their checklist to check that. People are doing their job, if things are being run properly, but I don't think they need to go further than that. Do you agree, or what do you think?
Unfortunately, I can't really say with much expertise. I feel like a corporate side will come into play. I think a lot of the indie dispensaries will be forced out of business by bigger challenges and perhaps even more franchise sort
well,
of shops,
well,
maybe.
But it's also quite typical in every industry, in that when an industry begins, that industry is will have lots and lots of different companies, and then over time they get bought out and they get eaten up. Like cars is a great example, whereas years ago there were many, many car manufacturers, and now there's only really like 6 or 7 major companies in the world that own most of the other car companies. And so you probably will see a sort of eventual sort of centralization and monopolization of the market by a few companies. Seems pretty inevitable.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're about out of time. We'll play our one last track for tonight, which is Caseland and Vares with Honey and Smoke. All right, any last words, sir?
No, yeah, thanks for another good talk.
All right, I'll see you guys next week. If you want to keep up with us on Twitter, it's at WhiteNoiseYVR, and join us on Facebook, WhiteNoiseUBC. All right, we'll see you next week. Good night.